First up on CNN 10 this Thursday, a traffic jam in Egypt that's probably unlike anything you've ever seen. I'm Carl Azus, and we're starting in the Suez Canal. This is an artificial waterway in Egypt. It connects the Mediterranean Sea with the Red Sea. If a ship wants to travel from Europe to East Africa, India, or Oceania, this is the fastest way to do it. At least it is when it's not blocked up. A massive container ship ran aground in the Suez Canal this week after high winds and a sandstorm reportedly made it difficult to sail. The vessel, which sails under the flag of Panama, is called the Ever Given, and to give you a sense of how big it is, it's almost as long as the Empire State Building is tall, and it's just under 200 feet wide. The cargo ship is stuck diagonally. No large vessels can get around it. 8 tugboats have been working to free the Ever Given. It's reportedly damaged. Once the ship is cleared, it'll probably have to be towed for miles to the nearest port, where it'll be unloaded and repaired. Meantime, the number of other ships that are waiting is growing. One official says as many as 100 of them could be lining up at opposite ends of the canal to get through. Some of these vessels are carrying oil from Oman, Russia, Saudi Arabia, and the United States. That could disrupt supplies if the Ever Given isn't freed soon. How long will that take? An Egyptian official says a couple days at least, a week or more if things don't go well. And after it's moved, it'll probably take days to get maritime traffic back to its normal flow in the Suez Canal.
The Suez Canal is one of the world's most strategic waterways, a vital shipping route for over 150 years, transporting goods between Europe and Asia. An ambitious plan to modernize the canal brought R.J. Kumar Singh here in 2016.
We should have come to this place about 3 years back. The place has transformed in the last 3 years in terms of business, in terms of people, in terms of processes, but everything is revamped.
He runs the only privately managed port in Egypt, located just below the southern entrance of the Suez Canal.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Fine.
From here, RJ has watched the area transform.
All good? What they've done is that they have expanded 35 kilometers of Suez Canal. That has doubled the ships passing through.
Capitalizing on this increased traffic, a giant economic free zone is taking shape along the canal, attracting manufacturers and suppliers from all over the world. This vessel carries 60,000 tons of raw sugar from Brazil. It's for Safula Group, a Saudi-based industrial company which refines and packages the sugar right here at the port. It's then shipped back through the canal to customers all over the world. Because everything happens here, Safula cuts costs and saves time. DP World is expanding the port to accommodate the world's biggest ships, bringing its total investment here to $1.6 billion.
10-second trivia. The largest percentage of U.S. landfill waste comes from what material? Plastics, paper products, food, or yard trimmings? According to the Environmental Protection Agency, paper and paper products account for more than 23% of landfill waste. And food takes up the second largest slice of the landfill pie, accounting for about 21.5%. The COVID pandemic changed how Americans dine out, at least temporarily. Restaurant sales, especially in large cities, dropped when it came to in-person dining, but they rose for takeout. That means more disposable food containers were floating around. Republic Services, one of America's largest trash collection and recycling providers, says cardboard drink carriers, aluminum cans, and plastic containers labeled number 1 or 2 are usually recyclable. What's not are paper napkins and towels, soiled cardboard like greasy pizza boxes, plastic utensils, bags, and foam containers. That usually goes to the trash unless people compost the paper products. There are some companies, like the one you're about to see, that are working to develop alternatives to throwaway food containers. Deliver Zero is kind of like Grubhub, DoorDash, or Uber Eats, except the new company's drivers take your old containers away when they drop off the new ones. This does come at an additional cost for restaurants based on the amount of takeout food they sell. How does this compare with what other delivery services charge?
Ordering Spartan combos, spinach pies, waffle yakitaki.
Like a lot of New Yorkers, I eat a lot of takeout. When you get takeout, after your meal, you have tons and tons of garbage. New York City alone goes through billions of single-use disposables just in the restaurant industry. And I wanted to solve that problem. My name is Adam Farbiash. I'm one of the co-founders of Deliver Zero. Deliver Zero is a food ordering service. We provide restaurants with reusable takeout containers. Deliver Zero started in Park Slope, Brooklyn with 5 restaurants in late 2019. When you order food through Deliver Zero, you get your food in these reusable containers. The restaurant tells us how many of our Deliver Zero boxes are going out, and the customer has these boxes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 containers.
The customer then returns them. They can return them to the next delivery courier. They can return them by walking back to any Deliver Zero restaurant and handing them in. If the customer returns them within 6 weeks, there's no extra cost for the customer. And eventually, if they don't return them after 6 weeks and a little bit of a grace period, they're charged $3.25 per box. That restaurant will then wash the containers, add them to their supply, add them to their inventory, and reuse them for the next order. We have about 135 restaurants in Brooklyn and Manhattan, and a little bit in Queens, actually.
Hello, Dinamite Cuisine, may I help you? As a restaurant owner, we save money, well, I don't have to use my containers. Seamless and Grubhub, yeah, they take a big chunk, 20% compared to Delivery Zero. They take about 10%.
New Delivery Zero order.
Like all those other services, we provide a tablet to the restaurant where the orders show up and say, hey, make this food. The experience for the restaurant and for the customer is really identical. In the next 18 months, we'd like to have many, many, many more restaurants in New York. We're going to bring Deliver Zero to Los Angeles. We also have a partner who's opening Deliver Zero in Amsterdam. 5 years, we view this as a much, much bigger program. Once you start thinking about single use, you will see single use everywhere. You have to start asking, why isn't the problem being solved everywhere? This is the solution to the problem. The solution to the problem is a network. We view this network as encompassing all foods. Foods that might you get at the grocery store, or the deli, or the food vendor who's selling things out of a cart. You just know in your heart of hearts that it is a foolish thing that we're doing as a society to make all this stuff just to throw it away. It's silly. And I want my kids to live in a world where that doesn't happen anymore.
Turns out the phrase, music soothes the savage beast, is not an exact quote. That's how many people know the line, which came from a play written in 1697 by William Congreve. But even though the words in the modern phrase are a little bit different, they apply exactly to what's been going on at a zoo in Colombia. So before we go today, sit back, relax, and take a listen. They may be thinking, please don't stop the music. It may be Mozartistic music to their ears. But watch out if the lions join in the roarus and say, if music be the food of love, play on, because that could be a sour note that signals treble, and you'll want to jump back and keep your composure if you're close to the clef of their enclosure when the savage beasts decide it's feeding time. You just never know what they'll zoo. I know at the students of Axtell High School Zoo, they subscribe and comment on our YouTube channel, which is the only place we look for the shout-out schools we mentioned, like today's, from Axtell, Kansas. I'm Carl Azus.